Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 3, and we'll be covering chapter 2, part 2 in the TAN edition of the book covering the early childhood of the little flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, soul beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul the divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips. But I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Thérèse of the Holy Face may behold the glorious face of heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last time we discussed the second and saddest stage of Saint Thérèse's life, when her second mother entered Carmel. So her first mother passed away when she was only about 4. But then Pauline, who she adopted to be her second mother, she left the world and entered Carmel. And it really was hard on her, and we'll find out then in the next conference that it really made her ill. And then we also talked about the fruit of the spiritual life, that Saint Thérèse was such a little child, an innocent little flower, that she began living heaven now. She said, "My confession gave me a foretaste of eternal happiness." So that was what we talked about in the last conference. So today, I want to start with this. If ever Saint Thérèse was mentioned, Father used to bend down toward me and whisper, "Listen, my little queen, he is talking about your patron saint." Then I would really listen. But I'm afraid I kept my eyes on my father far more than on the preacher, because I could read such a lot in his noble face. Sometimes his eyes would fill with tears. He could not keep back, and when he was listening to the eternal truth, he seemed to be already in another world and no longer in this. He was then a long way from his journey's end. However, long, sad years had yet to pass before he opened his eyes on heaven's loveliness, and Jesus wiped away his father's servant's tears, his faithful servant's tears. But to come back to my Sundays, these wonderful feasts, which used to pass so swiftly, were not untinged with sadness. And after Compline, my happiness gave way to a certain pensiveness. But there's just so much there that we find out in another biography of St. Louis Martin, that he made himself a victim of love. And he went insane in the last 5 years of his life because he offered himself to God. And this is something that only very generous souls are able to do, because it's such a demand on them. And we also know that both St. Louis Martin and St. Thérèse were patrons of the Holy Face. And so we see the element of the Holy Face written in her biography, that she would look at her father's face instead of listening to the preacher, because there she could behold the emotions on his father's face, on her father's face. And that's why he's a saint, because he had such a great love of the Holy Mother of the Church that the sermons would cause him to cry, and that's the lot of saints. The Lord's Day was like heaven to her. How we do well to restore the Lord's Day in our times. It's a time for her, as she said, quote, to long for heaven. And that's something with the devotion to the Holy Face that St. Shiraz was a member. She even was titled of the Holy Face. It's this spiritual army, this arch-confrontatory of the Holy Face, where we again make reparation for blasphemies and profanation of Sundays and holy days. So the profanation of Sundays, meaning that people don't even observe this day to be set apart as a day of rest. And so there's no possibility when people are always busy shopping on Sunday and doing unnecessary work, they can't have a chance to have that recreation which is necessary in order to have a contemplative life, a life where we are actually penetrating the mysteries of God and able to have a conversation with Him. She said this, tomorrow, meaning the day after Sunday, I would have to go back again to my daily routine and my lessons. I felt an exile again and longed for heaven, my true home, where it would be always Sunday. Then we hear this. I was quite fascinated by Orion's belt, which hung like a cluster of golden pearls across the deep vault of the sky, for they seemed to me to form the letter T. And this was happening when she would come home on those Sunday evenings at about 8 o'clock. She had spent the whole day keeping it the Lord's Day, that her soul then was sensitive to being struck by God in nature. She was fascinated. Nature was made to bring her wonder. It was heightened because she kept Sundays holy. She mentions later on how the liturgical year would help her by going through a few pages on her father's knee. She would listen to this. And I have the volumes of the liturgical year in front of me on my bookshelf. There's about a little over a dozen. And it was Don Pothberger-Jay who wrote about the history, about the spiritual fullness of the liturgy. And this, of course, in the Latin Rite, where the traditional Latin Mass observes one cycle, and then the next year a second cycle, and the next year a third cycle, but one cycle. So it's easy for the soul, year after year, to get into this spiritual rhythm, having these commentaries on the divine liturgies each and every day, just built upon the riches that come from the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Then we hear this. You never let me off with a single little fault and never went back on any decision you had made, though you never rebuked me unless there was a good reason. So there she's talking again about her saintly father. And this is a point that's important for all souls in general, that prudence requires souls to not go back on any decision. That's why it's so important when married couples, when they promise to get married, that they stay married until life, until death, do they part. And for priests, too, to stay in the priesthood, and religious that are in perpetual vows, that they remain firm in that. This brings peace to the soul because it gives us that ability to have veracity, to speak the truth. And whenever we make a resolution, we don't go back on it. It's also, I want to mention now here, quote from St. Shiraz, I told you once how it puzzled me that God did not give everyone the same amount of glory in heaven, and I feared they could not all be happy. You sent me off to fetch one of Father's big glasses and made me put my little thimble by the side of it. Then you filled them both up with water and asked me which I thought was the fuller. I had to admit that one was just as full as the other, because neither of them would hold any more. So here we have that popular heaven analogy, that there are higher levels in heaven, but all people are happy. And so that's just the truth. There's different thrones that are empty, that have been vacated by the wretched demons who chose not to serve God. And that's why there's a constant war on earth between the devils and ourselves, because they're jealous. They don't want us to have those thrones. And the thrones are different sizes depending on the nature of the demons that were thrown out. And so we are going to inherit those if we stay in God's grace and have final perseverance. But there's a note that there's complete happiness in heaven. No matter how much or how high somebody is in heaven. And that's an important thing to remember, that happiness is for all in heaven. There's no sadness at all. But the different sizes of vessels that could hold the water, one being a big glass of the Father and then a little thimble, they were both full with water to show that they were both full of happiness. But obviously, one's happiness was different than the other. Then we have this. Saint Therese says, quote, "As the adorable face of Jesus was veiled during his passion, it was only fitting that the face of his faithful servant should be veiled during his time of humiliation, and so in heaven shine with all the greater radiance." So here she's talking about a vision she had. Of course, she was in her early childhood, around the age of 5 or 6, and she saw her father, but he was much older, and his face was veiled. So it's interesting, this vision of her father, Louis, that the veil was one of the instruments of the passion, where they cover the face of Jesus. Because perhaps during that mock trial, it was shining. And then this was a time of humiliation. Well, she's alluding to the fact that her father would go senile, and that was one of the prices he paid for becoming a victim soul and our Lord receiving his offering. Louis's face shines in greater radiance in heaven. And that's because he was a member of the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face, and he lived it out very well. Because in that Archconfraternity, one of the promises to the members of the Archconfraternity is that their countenance will be more radiant than others in heaven. Then we hear this. "My heart revolted at the idea, and I came even closer, saying to myself, if he falls down, I will not have the grief of seeing him die. I shall die too." So this was when her father was on the roof, on the top of the ladder, and he told Therese to move out of the way. "My little queen, if I fall down, I shall crush you." So we see that her love of her father is even unto the death, because she would not be able to live having her father die without her. So she wanted to go with him. This is the kind of love that Jesus had, that he was willing to die for a friend. And that's a great relationship that Saint Therese had with her father, Louis. And it's no wonder both of them have the word saint in front of them. Next, we hear this. "I saw the sea for the first time. I was about 6 or 7, and the sight impressed me so much I could not turn my eyes away. It was so majestic, and the voice of the waves spoke to my soul of God's power and grandeur." Here again, we have another side of creation that brought her to God. And then listen to this last entry that I'll say in this session. She was looking at the sun, and it appeared to be sinking into the vast stretches of the waters. And she said, quote, "I gazed for ages on this path of light, and you said it was an image of the path to heaven, when grace lights up the way. How beautiful sunsets are, how beautiful they are to be contemplated by us, that we have to have that time carved out in our life to have that holy leisure. So we're not always just busy doing this or that, but we're actually out in creation at night to see the stars, at the sunrises and sunsets, to see what scientists call that infrared light, which is so healing to the body, but not just the body, but also the soul. But these two saints, these two lovers of God, St. Louis and St. Thérèse, father and daughter, they just explain things that help them to have a constant conversation with God. As that sun was going into the sea, it created a path of light. And Louis said, this is the path to heaven. So how important it is for us to go whenever we can to see the sunset. I don't know where all of you live, but I live in Kansas, and we live in the Great Wheat Belt. But our sunsets and sunrises are just so beautiful. But wherever you live, God will be found in His creation if your soul is opened up to that. And that brings us to the end of day 3 in our study of the story of the soul. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing chapter 3, in which the little flower recounts the events of her childhood suffering and the miracle from Our Lady of Victory. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.